Live and learn. Welcome to season 2 of our weekly conversations about living, learning, teaching, and intercultural communication. We discuss cultural awareness and diversity, education and mentality, and we never really know where our talk will bring us in each episode. So, we just follow our curiosity and invite you to join us. In this episode, we ask and try to find the answers to the questions: how does one get cultural awareness? Who needs to adapt to another culture? What does teaching sensitive cultural content mean? Which competence does it require? We also share our personal experience of learning a culture from the environment and in the environment.
Why are we supposed to learn how their culture operates? Why don't they learn how to operate with our culture?
And it's so important to go and dig these things.
You know, you mentioned a very specific word here. You mentioned the word sensitive. And I think this is something that exactly what intercultural communication is all about. Last week there was a interesting webinar. Rob Howard, hi Rob, was holding it, and he was trying to say how much the intercultural communication damages the business, how much new things are coming up to the culture that it evolves. You can teach like every week you can teach a new bit of the culture. He's an American guy living in Poland, and he's been teaching in Brazil, in Poland, in a bunch of countries. And he keeps on saying that it's not enough to teach this general level of culture to business. You actually need to get those case studies according to where the business operates. And because it evolves, it's impossible to use the books which were like years ago. But what is as well I would love to mention here is that it's not only the situation that we need to learn specific cases, but what we discussed with one of my business English students last week is that bringing up the cultural awareness as the first skill for people doing business international, online, global, I don't know, with somebody else. Because, okay, you can learn everything, like you can go and learn a book or a culture slip on China. But China is vast. It's so impressively huge. You can have those provinces and they will differ one from another, or like all the Asian, there was the business case where a person had a good experience on Asian markets and he wanted to open in Chinese, and he said, okay, I don't need the cultural advisor, I'm super culturally experienced here, and like the whole business failed, right? So that was like multi-millionaire bill failure. And that's the situation. From one point, you're saying that was a bad or poor business skills. And when we started to communicating and discussing this case, the funny thing that no, that was poor culture thing. That was ignorance, that was inability, like ignorance is the opposite of awareness, right? So when you don't even want to know that this intercultural difference will actually influence or will have the impact. There were a couple of very good takeaways that from this lesson. The first question was, why are we supposed to learn how their culture operates? Why don't they learn how to operate with our culture?
Depends on which role you're in. If you want to enter another market, then you need to learn how their culture operates. If you are a tourist in another country, again, you need to know how this culture, that culture works so that you fit. I can't imagine a situation in which somebody would adapt to you. Like, why? If you're staying at home, then someone would come and adapt in order to fit your community. But when you move around, you need to learn, you need to adapt, you need to fit.
Actually, we had a very interesting counter argument to this. 20, 25 years ago, the European countries, cities were invaded with the Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese, Korean food places. And they were creating, and you can see here in Berlin, for example, or back in Ukraine, they tried to create a little island of their culture. The light that they have in their restaurant, the way they serve, what they serve, how they serve. They don't want to adapt. They are trying to build this, you know, a piece of their culture. And if that attracts to you, you're coming in. That's not kind of the, you know, adapting the food to the European, you know.
That's about diversity.
And, but this is a good counter argument. Who needs to adapt?
If you don't adapt to local laws, your business will fail. If you don't adapt to till which time you are allowed actually to play music in your restaurant, you will fail, etc. So these are also cultural things.
Yeah. That's behaving according to the rules. But what I'm trying to say is that you wouldn't change the toppings according to European tastes if you are serving Korean food, right? Because that wouldn't be the Korean food any longer. So basically, there wouldn't be what to sell. We came up with the idea that if you are aware of these cultural differences and you are ready to take the risk, then you are invading. No?
Maybe. I'm thinking about other things that have been happening culturally and locally to Italian pizza. I'm getting back to this. So
please do.
I need to apologize to our Italian listeners. You don't want to hear that. So please go 2 minutes further, because I'm going to mention a Sicilian pizza, the ingredients of which are chicken and pineapple.
Isn't it pizza Hawaii?
Whatever, it is also Sicilian, it is also Hawaii, it is also some other, served at different places with different names. And if you're an Italian listening to this, there was a disclaimer. I said, I apologize. This is something that that hurts so badly, because you cannot have a pizza with these ingredients, possibly. No, it's a complete no. Still, pizza travels around the world, and the US has been very welcoming. So they've created so many different types of pizza, and they're very creative with ingredients. So then when pizza travels back to Europe and finds all these different forms and ways of being served, etc., it hurts those who were in the origins now of this food, but then it takes other forms, other shapes, other
Like,
Yeah,
are you talking
variety.
now about the pizza Americana with the fries all over it?
Horrible to me
Well,
personally, but it's served in Italy too, like pizza Americana, French fries, and sausage. Like,
fries are all over the pizza, just
all
like
over the pizza,
instead of
yeah.
rucola. It's
So
actually interesting
it's.
to know if such pizza is served in California, for example, like, or in Washington, or like if they've ever seen a pizza with fries all over, which is called pizza
Pizza
Americana.
Americana. Okay, and that's
I
a
don't know
call to
if
our listeners from California. Please let us know whether you have this kind of pizza served at your place.
Yeah, that's true, because like it is just impressive, because
What would be Ukrainian pizza?
my goodness, come on, just don't start it. That would be something completely different, because then
It's
okay,
another
we
topic.
can start joking about then German pizza, or I don't know, pizza from Alsace, and saying flamen kuchen is a pizza, but then we
Yeah,
are
okay.
risking that all the
Yeah.
nations will
But
hate us and will say,
okay.
oh no, I'm not going to
Oh
listen
no,
to this
oh no.
podcast any longer.
Not this. Yeah, I remember our friend's reaction to the photo that we took of Flammenkuchen, and she reacted to this saying, "Oh, raw pizza."
Why is it raw?
Because it didn't seem like baked or like
Why?
it was very light, it had very light color, and
Okay.
somehow it seemed raw pizza. And how did I come to this topic? That adapting, yeah, there should be a good measure in everything. Bringing your culture somewhere and invading, or on the other hand, adapting and understanding the mentality of the place where you are. Then, if we get back to teaching these cultural aspects, so with Italian, I'll say again, you can start at very early levels and add up step by step some of the cultural things until we go to more advanced levels. And when we come there, there are some more complicated cultural topics like Italian immigration, like Italian mafia, like other sorts of things that can be painful for Italians themselves. And I wonder here how much we as non-Italian teachers, for instance, me as a non-Italian teacher of Italian, how can I and until which level can I come close to these painful issues of Italian culture, and how can I transmit and transfer these things to my students so that they feel the beauty of the culture and language, and at the same time are sensitive to difficulties and pains of the Italians concerning their culture. That's a very important point to me.
You know, you mentioned a very specific word here. You mentioned the word sensitive. And I think this is something that exactly what intercultural communication is all about. Because the word sensitive comes from the word senses. I feel, I can feel your pain, I can feel your trauma, I can feel your shame, pride. I can feel you, right? And it doesn't matter which language we're teaching. For example, in German or French, there will be the very same situation, because every country, every culture, every age, every religion, every gender, every social economic status, everybody has their own issues that should be respected, should not be diminuted, should be valued. And this is exactly what cultural awareness is. You know, in the university back in Dnipro, our intercultural course that I was teaching was something like 54 hours of lecture time. In Kyiv, it was 76 hours of lecture time. And here, it is something like 18, somewhere maybe 36, 30 hours, 40 hours, but sometimes it's not even there at all. So this becomes a part of the language course because not everybody goes to university to have the whole course with the theories, with the big names in intercultural communication and trying to apply theoretical knowledge to the cases. During the English teaching, Italian teaching, French teaching, we can still use the materials, as you rightly said, about texts, about culture, to discuss because we are still teaching the speaking, we're still teaching the communication skills. And it's as much as we are doing the, I don't know, dialogues on every topic. Starting with like food going to bakery and so on, it doesn't really matter which nation you are as a teacher. So you're not supposed to be a native person to teach language as well as to teach culture. Yes, of course, as a native, you will know more. But as a qualified teacher, you know how to bring this. Specific theories, facts, case studies, workshops, whatever, to the people so that they at least are aware and sensitive about it. Because that's the best thing to teach. There are a gazillion number of cases. You're not going to teach every. But the principle behind it, that there are different cultures who react differently to time, to scheduling, to making a decision. To getting feedback, getting criticism. There are different cultures who, for example, avoid negative answers. So they are trying to reformulate their answers so that not to sound rude. And then the countries which have more direct and like low profile cultures or whatever. I'm not going to go to the terms, but with more direct communication, they don't sense that there was a no. And this is something that we can teach about awareness, what to focus on, what to take, how to get prepared. So the takeaway from the international culture course, whatever lens it is that I as a person who is going, for example, to China, to Beijing, to Dubai, to Mexico, to Copenhagen, to, I don't know, to South Africa, anywhere I've never been before. That's my responsibility to get to know how am I supposed not to be rude, not to be aggressive, not to be hurting, not to be taken as a stranger, not to be taken as a enemy, right? So it's our responsibility to show goodwill and awareness where I'm coming, what I'm doing, why I'm here, and I'm here to respect you. It can be very tribal, it can sound very tribal, right? Like back centuries, but it says showing goodwill that I come to you. I do not come to ruin your culture. I come to respect your culture. And that is a good thing because you are showing that you're a guest. In like if we just minimize all the ideas from traveling abroad and so on, like when you're coming to somebody's house, you ask, should I take my shoes off or not? What are the rules here? For example, in Corona time, So how are we going to greet each other? Because there are specific rules right now, and that is not something that we got used to. We don't know how each family reacts to this. So do we greet each other with elbows or with sneakers? Do we still hug each other? And also, that's a normal question right now when we meet people. Like, hi, hello, so happy to see you. How do we greet each other right now? So we are trying to formulate the culture deal. And like, you are coming to my house. That's how I serve you. This is how I treat you. But I'm showing this from the goodwill. So if you are disrespecting me, then there will be misunderstanding, miscommunication. That's the same time, the same thing interculturally. If you are coming to make business in my country and you do not respect me, you see the allusion to which quote it is. You come to my house and you do not respect me. So we come back to Italian. Tell me, the Godfather.
We've mentioned how and when we start to teach international communication or business communication when it regards English as a second language or foreign language or another language. And then we also mentioned Italian and coming closer to understanding Italian culture when we learn and teach Italian. What's your experience been with German, for instance? Have you been taught basics of culture as well as language in your language course?
Okay, with German. I was privileged to learn from a German teacher. And therefore, anytime we as A1, A2, B1, B2, at every point of our studies, every time we were saying something that sounds weird to a native speaker, we had her very specific physiognomic reaction and an explanation why that would sound very weird. I need to say that in the end of the B1, no, in the end of A2 level, we had a fantastic Berlin jargon session. So we had a rap video where the person goes after dark to Kreuzberg, to Friedrichshain, one club after another, and discovers how the darkness eats his time, something like this, but this all in jargon and a lot of very specific symbols in the video. So basically, we couldn't understand all this jargon. She said, okay, that doesn't really matter. What you are seeing is this is a very specific way how people greet each other in the evening. This is how you are not supposed to get to the club. This is why this person was sad that he cannot enter. This is why what he does in the underground station, this is something that he can get fine, and that's why he's scared. And basically, we got from this one video so many keys and hints which we cannot read from the video without the person who is teaching us this. One more thing was that Mona Kraft showed us, our teacher of German showed us, for example, the advertisement from BVG, and that was a prank on advertising, and it's like not the official one, but more a specific reformulation of the how the people of Berlin reacted to a formal advertisement. And that was so plenty of only Berlin related tricks. When I see this video, to me just a weird kaleidoscope of something that I do not understand. But when she just pauses and says, oh, that was the case when, or this is what everybody knows, or this is somebody got arrested because of that. And then you suddenly understand that there are so many layers of the culture that it can take years to dig deep down, making mistakes, learning on mistakes, learning your lessons, rather than while you're still hurting people when you're saying something that you don't know. But if you are studying with a person who makes a specific focus that, guys, beware, be aware, be present, take a moment to think before you react, take a moment to formulate. So this is something that can help you a lot in this situation.
I had similar emotions, I guess, when in our Italian course we went through the text of a famous song, Lasciatemi cantare l'italiano by Toto Cutugno. And the song is so popular, most people recognize it easily as soon as the first note sound. And it's so full of stereotypes. Julia is singing again. It's so full of stereotypes about Italian lifestyle and Italian culture. But the deeper you go into the text of the song, the more things you get aware about concerning the culture, again, concerning the pains, history, reaction of the Italian people to some problematic issues of the society. And it's so important to go and dig these things. And I'm still so grateful to this teacher for having uncovered and discovered these things together with us. Another thing, coming back to a German course, was in our Leben in Deutschland course, which is a part of an integration course where you learn laws and some regulations. This is the exam you need for applying for citizenship in Germany. And one of the teachers on this course was very open about talking about mentioning her personal reactions to the fall of the Berlin Wall. And it's not just history anymore. It's also connected with personal perception of real people who remember living in the German Democratic Republic and then remember the fall of the wall and then rediscovered themselves as Germans, as part of a wider society after the unification of Germany. And coming close to this personal experience of people who are open to share it with foreigners opens up much. Then I start thinking, okay, is it possible to put these things on any book that teachers of any language as a foreign language could possibly use in class?
They do. And this is what happens. We have the interviews of people as texts. We have the specific research when it comes to learning some higher levels. We still have so many culture-initiated texts. And this is the beauty, because you it doesn't really matter which text you are taking, right? To teach you skimming, scanning, or summarizing. So it was really smart for the EOT Society, English Language Teacher Associations, to bring the questions of the culture into these texts, into the listening, into the interviews. We still have, when I was learning, for example, German course, all the texts are about culture somehow. Some about history, some about people, some about how they feel hurt that the Germans are now known as the worst country to make friends. And they say, no, that's not true. But when people make the interviews and asking, when did you make friends? And a video of German people actually admitting that, oh, on the second thought, I have all my real friends coming from school. And yeah, most probably the people who are coming to the country, they had never had experience of being as a part of the school in Germany. So basically what happens is that the German people rediscover the stereotypes about them to themselves. I had a very interesting dialogue a couple of weeks ago with a person from international university. We were sitting in a company where everybody comes from country which is not Germany and speaks at least two languages which is not German. So we are sitting like a mixture of all the possible cultures in around one table. And this person from Germany says, I feel so underprivileged next to you because I'm not such an international person. And he says, so what's your experience? So, well, it was super cool, super interesting. And then they started speaking about specific things, like, for example, paying for the radio tax, radio and television, that everybody has to pay 17.5 euros without any try to, you know, to escape it. Like, I think
it's horrible.
It is. So this is a part of the culture. This is something that people think that it is much cheaper to pay 17.5 euros per month than to have a oligarch owned television.
So let us know what you think about learning cultures from the books, from living in the environment, from visiting countries, from podcasts. What are your favorites in coming close to cultures? Come to our social networks. Let us know what you think. Live and learn.
Learn and live.